Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
Richie. Te preparas con la cara, güey. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. How are you?
It's nice to see you again.
Oh my gosh.
It's been too long.
It's been like 2 months.
It was like 2 months.
Oh my gosh. What's going on?
Oh my God. I don't even know where to start, but tell us a little bit about what we're eating.
Okay. Well, we're recording for the first time in my house, which is nice. And you brought me some homemade caldo de pollo chicken soup from your mama's house.
Sí, de la Clemen.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my mother who listens to this but doesn't understand a single word.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. It's okay, so let me describe it. So I got a chicken breast in here, and usually caldo de pollo has rice in it, but I've never had it with red rice before, Mexican rice.
It's Wait, you had it with white rice?
Always with white rice.
I never had it with white rice before.
Caldo de pollo is with white rice for our family.
No, not for me.
Potatoes, carrots. And, ¿cómo se dice esto?
Calabacitas.
Mexican zucchini. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It is really good. And you put a little bit of lime, which I forgot to bring, but you get the idea.
I got lime. Let me go get some in a minute.
You know that rice, it's, you know when people say, well, what do you want people to bring when you die to your grave?
Yeah.
I want people to eat rice, but Mexican rice. Like that you're
funeral?
Having. Like, if I'm homesick, that's what I want, rice. When I was in Albuquerque, that's how I learned how to cook. Because what I wanted to eat the whole entire time was my mom's rice. So I had to learn how to make it. And that was maybe 10 years ago, and I still don't know how to make it the way she does it. But
oh my
anyway.
God. I know, moms know how to make the best rice. It's so fucking
no, good. There's. I remember when I was a kid, there were some moms that didn't know how to make the best rice.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So what's up? So I feel like today we're just going to catch up because I know the podcasts come out every 2 weeks, but sometimes we record them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally haven't seen each other in like 2 months, which is crazy because we're usually together all the time.
Yeah.
So, remember, we're doing a podcast, so talking to your microphone.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. What are you whispering over there, Mariah Carey?
Estoy
tomando oh, my God. Did I heard today that Mariah Carey is Latina.
No.
Did you know that?
Dios mío.
Her dad's like Venezuelan or something.
No es cierto.
Yes, it is. It's true.
Everything makes sense now.
Doesn't it?
Dios mío.
That's why she don't know J-Lo. I don't know her. Okay. So, what have you been doing, Babelito?
Okay, so, God, a lot of things happened this... I want to say this summer, but the summer is not over because it's blazing hot outside. I went on, I don't want to call it a residency. I talked about it before, about Arquetopian Artist Residency in Puebla. But this summer, they put together a wonderful program. And it was their summer program where we had, they had 7 artists, I think, as guests. Mm-hmm. And they gave them a couple of, they gave them classes throughout the summer. So there was 1 week with one scholar, 1 week was my turn, and another week with another scholar. So I extended my classes for 2 weeks. And the third week, I was there while my advisor was also there. Hi, Kirsten. I love you, Kirsten. I know you said you fall asleep when
she
you listen to this. Well, she said that she falls asleep when she listens to the podcast. Not because we're boring, but because my voice is very comforting. I love you, Kirsten.
Okay.
Anyway. And then the third week, it was her giving classes. And I, you know, every time I go to Mexico, every time I go to Puebla, I learn something. And it was just... It was too much. It was so good. It was so good. And that's where I've been the past couple of weeks. And I just got back, and I've been eating a lot of rice because it's just, it's been...
What happened to you over there?
Oh, Lord, where to start? So this is what I think it happened to me. I don't want to blame the food because the food in Puebla is perfection. Mm-hmm. But when I went to go eat tacos de asada, even though nobody eats tacos de asada there except for me, I dropped my... Because over there, it's tasajo. Like, the meat, it's chicken, it's pork. Tasajo is pork.
Pork, and so in Puebla, in Central Mexico, they mostly eat
Yes, I mean, you pork. Can eat, you can go, I mean, of course people eat meat, but it's more like a staple of the North. So if I want tacos de carne asada, like, they're not in every corner. Like, you will see them in Ciudad Juárez.
It's like a space thing, because there's more space for cows.
Correct. So cattle, it's a northern thing. Mm, correct. Okay. So the meat is wonderful in the north, and that's all I eat.
So you made the mistake of eating carne asada.
But that's
tacos.
Not what it is. But let me finish. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So I had my tacos, but I was about to pick up the tacos when I grabbed from my pocket a 20 pesos billete bill.
Yeah.
And it fell on this black puddle of water because it had been raining.
20 pesos, bitch.
Wait, espera, 20 pesos.
$2, let it go.
No way. So.
Okay, go ahead. I know. But times are hard. Times are tough.
Man. I thought about it. I was like, no. 20 pesos is 20 pesos.
I'm in. Okay.
So I pick up the 20 pesos and it was black. So I put it in my pocket and then I just clean my hands in my pants. And I proceed to eat my taco because apparently I'm a fucking honey badger. And and the next day at 4 p.m., I remember very well. I remember thinking, this is what women might feel when they have cramps.
Don't even compare. Don't even compare.
I am because I remember thinking, God. Oh, this is how it feels, how they explain it to me. So
you had cramps? Cramps.
I was dying. Okay. And then,
well, you look like you're dying.
And then... 3 weeks later, 20 pounds lighter, here I am eating caldito de pollo because it's all the only
Are
thing
you
I can
like
eat.
Your high school weight or something?
I haven't been this weight in 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
It's wonderful.
It's Jesus. Frida Kahlo's revenge.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. You know? I wouldn't be surprised, maldita. Anyway.
Maldita.
So that's in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot more things that happen, but
sure.
Now it's your turn.
No, let's focus on your bowel movement.
No, that's no good. Way.
While I eat this chicken, okay. So much has happened. Okay, let me think back. Maybe I should go in the order of the latest thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, first of all, we talked about Charo a little bit in the... In the RuPaul podcast.
But go ahead.
Shout out to my friend
Kim. But go ahead. Oh
my friend God. Kim got me tickets to... We went and saw Charo at one of the...
That was right before I left.
Yeah, at one of the casinos. Oh my gosh. Her coochie-coochie was on point.
Fire.
It was her coochie-coochie was on fire. And it was... Okay, so I don't want to talk shit, but it was pretty bad because... The music part, because it was all like kind of pre-recorded.
Ooh.
And she was kind of singing. She was singing to a track. She was singing.
But she was singing to a track.
Singing to a track. Aww. And she kept saying, these are the best musicians in the world. And I'm like, that's a track, girl. Like, that drummer is like playing air drums right now. But anyways. But her,
oh, so they, wait. So they had musicians?
I feel like the drummer was the only one really playing, but the drummer was also playing to a track. You know what I mean?
Dios mío. Okay.
And she had her dancers. She had dancers.
Mm.
And so the first half of the show, she was doing like her coochie coochie, whatever. She looked flawless. She looked amazing.
How old is she now?
Stacked. She's got to be in her 60s, like almost 70, right?
At Dios least. Mio. Yeah, she's...
And she was so... My favorite part was her banter. So like in between songs, she would talk and like just kind of make fun of people, make fun of herself. Like she's got her shtick down, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's been doing it for decades.
Oh my gosh. It was so awesome seeing her. And then... The last half of the show, she did a costume change. She came out in this like big old dress thing, and she played the guitar, like the Spanish. She's like a classically trained guitar player, and it was amazing. It was, I think it, I couldn't tell if it was to a track or not. Like, so it had to be real.
It had to be real. Because
they do close-ups of her hands while she's doing it. It was amazing. And during the show, she gave it a shout out to all the Latinos in the house.
Oh, that's cool.
And she was like, I wish I was a Latina. I love my Latinos, whatever. So I'm here to say that Charo is a Charo, or however you say it. She's an honorary Latina. Like, she's awesome.
You're going to get your welcome package in the next 2-3 weeks.
She already
weeks.
Has it. You know she has it already.
But imagine if it was good. Imagine back in the day when it was a live band. Like, it would have been just too much. It would have been amazing.
Yeah.
It hasn't even occurred to me to go see her, but I think I'm going to go next time. I'm just too curious. So you saw Charo. Who else have you seen?
Oh my, I don't know. What else has happened? I met Yara Sofia, the drag queen. It's like the third time I met her, but this time it was a very intimate situation.
Okay, tell me about it. Okay, so I saw Justin like a couple of days ago. And he wouldn't tell me anything because this is where our life comes down to. We have to save everything for the podcast. And all I remember is seeing the picture on Instagram of him and Yara Sofia. And I'm dying to know the
details. For you guys that don't know, Yara Sofia was on season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race, right? Or season 3? No, season 3. Sorry. Season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And she's from Puerto Rico. She's a Puerto Rican queen. And she was also on All Stars. The first season of All Stars.
I still haven't seen that.
She was Charo in the... This is how we tie them together. She was Charo in the Snatch Game episode.
I gotta see it.
Okay. So she's an amazing drag queen. So this is something cool that I learned in Puerto Rico. The drag queens, they're not called... You know, usually they call them dragas or whatever, drag queens. In Puerto Rico, they're called transformistas.
Sácate.
Isn't that nice?
I've heard that term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Transformistas. So... they transform into women. Yara Sofia, though, she transforms into a fucking monster, like, in a good way. Like, she's fucking...
She's come scary, a long way.
Like, fierce.
Yeah.
Like, her makeup is like no one else's, and her body is crazy.
Body, adi, adi.
Body, adi, adi. The house down boots, some other gay shit, whatever you say. So, it was amazing. And, so I was on assignment for a thing that I was writing for a magazine, and I got to go to the brunch. They do a drag brunch at one of the casinos.
El señor, no sé qué.
They ain't sponsoring us, bitch. So at a casino, okay, at a restaurant, and it was amazing. And she was amazing. And Coco Montrese was also there.
Mm.
Shout out to Coco, because I lost. I totally... Coco Montrese is also a Vegas drag queen. Yara Sofia lives here now, and Coco Montrese lives here.
There's so many queens that live here now.
Oh, my gosh. India Farah also lives here. That's Shangela is, like, part-time. But anyway, Coco Montrese killed it. Like, and you know how... You know how you see that footage of, like, people at balls, you know, where they're, like, voguing and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, yeah! And then, like, waving their finger.
That was you.
And, like, that was me! I was like, Coco! Oh, you are a professional! Yeah! I lost it. Coco was so on point. Like, it was...
So you're rooting? Are we rooting for her now?
Oh, I don't know. After I saw her perform, it was incredible. And like,
girl,
I was also with Crystal, my roommate Crystal. She's a photographer, so she was there to take photos of everything. And Coco never
left character.
She never got out of character, and she always knew where the lens was, where the camera was.
Yes,
like posing, model,
pro.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that's another thing that I did while you were gone. So you missed out on a lot.
That's too much.
It was a lot.
Okay, you also travel and you met somebody.
Oh my
God. I'm just reminding you everything you're doing.
Let's do you next. And then we'll
No, because my shit is boring. I want to hear more about your stuff.
We got to pepper it in, girl. Your boring academic bullshit. So, hold on. You were in Puebla, right? Mexico.
Yes.
Central Mexico.
Correct.
You got sick because you had carne asada tacos.
But that was in the second week. The first week was wonderful.
So what was your main goal over there? What were you doing?
I was giving a series of lectures about Basically, it all came down to how horrible this is. See, this is why this is boring after talking about fucking drag queens. So what we talked about in the summer over there, it all came down to, we just talked about how horrible museums are and how much we hate museums and how much are they rooted on this history of power. And we actually visited one museum as an example of...
The new one?
Oh my God. So the Dallas... whatever newspaper, I don't know which publication, but they just call it like the
shout out Bodega Boys.
just call it like the most important museum open in the world right now, and it's not contemporary.
Have they seen what it looks like?
Well, we're talking about the Baroque Art Museum.
Yeah, the Baroque Art Museum in Puebla, Mexico.
Yes, and I mean the building is impressive. It doesn't make any sense in the setting, but the building is impressive, and the museum, it's supposed to be like representations of what the Baroque is around the world. So right there, we have like this gigantic problem because they want to like basically homogenize everything. Like everything, it's Baroque. Everything is supposed to be the same. What is the Baroque? I don't even gonna get into because there's just too much.
Just a little to talk explanation though. What is, like, pretend my brother was.
So here. If I'm talking about the Baroque,
pretend your brother. I'm not sure. I know what it looks like.
Okay. Well, okay. This is what we... That's the whole thing. That's okay. What we think. Okay, so the Baroque, it's a movement or it's a period in art history. It's specifically rooted in Italian art in the beginning of the 17th century, specifically Rome and Bologna. So it's something that it... And it's a consequence of the Counter-Reformation. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's supposed to be very theatrical. It's about spectacle. It's about gold. It's about mixing different types of materials and a lot of movement. So it's very flashy. I mean, that's a bad word, and I'm using very non-academic.
It's like my grandma's living room.
It's like Vegas.
Oh, well, that's more Rococo.
It's like Vegas.
Yeah.
When the first time we came to Vegas, my mother said, shit, we visited the Strip, and she said, I feel like I'm in a church in Michoacán. I was like, what? So she made these connections about being completely overwhelmed by what you see. And she made the connections between what happened in Mexico and what she saw at the Strip, which is kind of one of the basic ideas about the Baroque. Overwhelm the senses so you come back to the church, you know?
Yeah.
So based on that, they constructed the whole entire museum. But the reality is that the contexts are so different and there's so many different problems. And I guess they spend more money on that museum than the Bilbao, the Guggenheim Bilbao in Spain. So, and the Poblanos are going to be paying that museum for many, many years to come.
Okay. So you went to the museum?
Yes.
And what happened? What did you think
and
about
we gave, I gave them a tour, but we had talked about the problems behind museums, the problems about collecting, which date back to the 14th, 15th, 16th century, and how everything is rooted in colonizations. Because when you explain something to somebody, when you describe things to somebody, as Kirsten says, you also explain it. So you are imposing your knowledge on others. So museums are like displaying like forms of colonization, which is what it is.
Okay, let's give Kirsten, is that how you say it?
Kirsten. You'll hear me talk
let's
a lot about
let's give Kirsten a formal shout out. Give her full name, where she works, what she does.
Hi, Kirsten. It's Kirsten Pybuick. She is a full professor in the Department of Art History in the University of New Mexico. And she's one of my favorite people in all the world.
Okay.
But anyway, I gave them the class and then I gave them the tour. And they were able to make the connections. And the craziest part of that museum is that they have what they call a Wunderkammer or a Cabinet of Curiosities. Have you heard of this before?
Yeah.
Okay. But the Cabinet of Curiosities was born in Europe the same way. It's just a bunch of rich people traveling around the world, gathering species of animals and fruits and art from different parts of the world to show that they have control over those. I mean, it's a lot more complicated. I'm sure I'm going to get comments and,
no,
and emails
about it. I know that. When I was studying Frida, that's like a common theme. Like white people taking our artifacts and then writing about them.
Correct.
And then they become the authority on our culture.
Exactly.
Like Rick Bayless, you know, writing a cookbook about mole. And it strips it. I mean, okay, shout out to Rick Bellis. Thank you for, like, you know.
Thank you for nothing.
Thank you for spreading the good word. But at the same time, it's like, he's become the authority on the culture. And todas las abuelitas ahí, you know, like, working every day, making that mole, who cares?
And I read an article, too, that he talked about how he was bringing culture to a specific neighborhood, I think in Chicago and L.A., when there's, like, this long history of Chicanos and food there. He needs to worry about
his facial hair.
And his career.
With this fucking racist beard. No, I'm just kidding. Rick, you know I'm playing, dog. But, oh, my God. Speaking of that, there's this amazing podcast called The Sporkful. Mm-hmm. Like, spork, like a spoon fork, you know?
Yes.
So, The Sporkful is amazing. It's Dan Pashman is the host. And he does...
Oh, you were telling me
about this. He has a four-part podcast series called Other People's Food. Mm-hmm. And he checks Rick Bayless on his white privilege.
Oof.
It is so good.
I want to watch
that. I recommend you guys, yeah, The Sporkful, Other People's Food. And then Rosie Perez, I think, is in the last one. And how she does this whole speech on how she is not rice and beans. She is a person.
Mm. Oof. It made me emotional. I mean, even though I'm still a little mad that she apologized in The View. Remember the whole thing?
I don't know.
Anyway, so
back to the museum.
So that's what it is. So you have this Europeans in the 16th, 17th century collecting everything they want to take control over, right? So you will go to a house of a rich person and they will open their Wunderkammer, their cabinet of curiosities. And it will be a display of that, of different animals, different fruits, different paintings, etc., etc. From those collections, you have the Natural History Museum. And from Natural History Museum, you have collections bigger. They came together with different historical events that happened in the 19th century. But that's how the Louvre started. This is how the biggest museums in the world started.
Yeah.
So after talking about that, we went to the Baroque Museum. And what do we see? We see a little fake Wunderkammer. Inside the museum. Like, they don't understand the problems and how fucked up that history is, yet they put it right there. And then at the... Oh, no. There's so much problems, and there's just, like, different species from around the world, and it's just a mess. Like, the museum, in terms of the museography, as they call it over there, la museografía, it's a mess, but they have some collections, Justin, that will... The art is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. But it's just... So anyway, we gave them a tour. We went outside and we talked about it. And they make all the points. They made all the connections. Oh, there's a problem because A, B, C, D. And because of the... And it was really, really good.
So as an academic, like, what do you think is... What should the museum's role be? Like, what is a responsible way? Because museums do need to exist.
I don't know. I wondered if... I wondered if this answer is too utopic, but you have to revamp the whole entire institution, because at the end of the day, it's still an institution and there's so many problems with it. We were talking about it in Mexico as well, like the Museum of Folk Art. Like, how do you rebrand that so it's not... it's not something that it's an insult, almost. Why would you call something high art and something folk? So what do you call it? So how do you rebrand? How do you get rid of that nomenclature to try to create something different? Mm-hmm. The same thing with the gallery spaces that are all guided towards selling, right? It's towards the market, but it's very difficult. I think as long as we begin to see the problems with our collections and how they work and how they function and the history of erasing other cultures, because that's pretty much many times what they do, I think that's one step. Like, I'm not going to pretend to have the solution because I don't have it. Mm. But so that was one of the most amazing experiences, because giving tours in another country and talking about these problems, because every time I teach in class here in the States, I want to do that. But I don't have the examples here in Vegas or in New Mexico, so it was just awesome, and that took most of my summer preparing the classes and putting all of that stuff together. But anyway, your turn.
No, let's talk about the food you ate in Mexico. So you had tacos.
Oh my god.
Oh, did you have tacos árabes?
I had tacos árabes. But see, I've been going there so many times. Like, I think it was my 11th time going down there to Puebla, and I've never gotten sick. So
okay, we're past that.
I know.
We're talking about tacos árabes right but, now. But what is a taco árabe?
You explain it because I just eat it.
Okay, so taco árabe mm-hmm. is like, this is the evolution of tacos al pastor, right? Because mm-hmm. before tacos al pastor, it was tacos árabes, right? So it's like, they call it tacos árabes because, you know, like Middle Eastern cultures use the spit
el
with
trompo.
The meat on it, el mm-hmm. trompo, right? So like when you go get a euro or whatever, they usually shave the meat mm-hmm. off of the thing. So it's the same technique, right? But in Puebla, I think it's the first, like one of the first places where they use that in Mexico. So you can still get a taco with carne de res, with beef, right? Mm-hmm. With like onions stacked in between it. And they shave it off and they put it into a pita. Right? Basically, not a tortilla.
It's like a pita-like tortilla.
So it's like a pita-like thick. Tortilla.
Yeah, you can also have it with corn tortillas.
And then they put crema on it, like a...
The jocoque, which is like...
Jocoque? My grandma says jocoque.
Jocoque. But it's with crema and olive oil and onions and... Oh,
it's so bomb.
And jalapeño.
What else did you
so
eat?
So good. I had the best chile nogada. What is a chile nogada? I don't know the history
how long
of
do we
it.
Have?
Yes, but a chile nogada, you're only going to have good chiles en nogada in Puebla. I'm sorry. I've had them in like 10 different cities and it doesn't compare.
Chile nogada is like a chile relleno.
It's like a chile relleno. So you have the poblano chile
uh-huh.
and then it's stuffed with fruits and meat and carne molida and.
Yeah.
How do you say carne molida?
Ground beef.
And then different types of fruit. Then they cover it. They put it in a batter. Uh-huh. And then they fry it. They fry it. And then they serve it with a pecan sauce, like cream sauce. And then with pomegranate seeds on the top. So it has the different colors
is
of
like,
the
isn't
flag.
Isn't that like a Christmas?
I think I need to check my facts. It's seasonal because of the pomegranate.
Oh, so it's a summer food.
It is a summer food. It's supposed to start at the end of July, beginning of August. I mean, it's everything. You have to have the right chiles, the right fruit that go inside the chile and the pomegranate. So everything has to be on season.
Yeah.
So, but there's restaurants where you can find it year round. And La Nogada, too, the nuez, you also only find a specific, I mean, to be in its prime, right?
Yeah.
But it was created, I think it was for the birthday of Iturbide in the 19th century. And there were some nuns who put it together. And they wanted the colors of the new flag. So you have verde, blanco, y rojo in the chile. And it is the most. And I didn't know this till I got to Puebla. But you eat it cool. Not cold, but you eat it cool. Because it was based on on a Middle Eastern recipe of dessert. Green pepper.
Okay.
So it's something that it's just like the tacos, tacos árabes. It's been developing into this unique, very local thing that you won't find anywhere else. There's a place, I'm salivating. There's a place in Mexico City that claims to be the birthplace of chiles en nogada, but it's bullshit. They're all from Puebla. But oh my God.
Let me tell you. Okay, so I went to Puebla last year. It was last year, right? Yeah. And I have never in my life had an experience with food like I did there.
Because it's...
It was... Okay. So usually this was my daily routine, right? I would get up, I would have breakfast at the house, and then I would go out, right? Usually go to a museum. I was in El Centro Histórico, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the historical district. And then I would go to a church. I'd check out a few. There's like 1,000 churches, right? So I'd go to church and then just check out the art and check out the architecture and all that Baroque stuff. And then, you know, it would start getting dark and then I would head back to the house to go work in the studio or whatever. And one time I took a little detour. And there was this alleyway and this smell was coming out of this alleyway. And I was like, you know what? I think I think I'm allowed to go in there. So I just started walking in there, and there was an old lady with a cart, mm-hmm. with a big disc, like, on the cart, and there was, like...
Con disco
with coals on the bottom, mm-hmm. right? So she had, like, made her own grill, basically. Mm. And she was making quesadillas, like... She was making quesadillas, like, from scratch, right?
Oh, I know where that is.
Oh, it's, like, by the Casa de la Cultura. It's, like, two or three streets up. Mm-hmm. It's not your mean-ass quesadilla lady that almost fucking cut me. we went there, too. But before that, she's like, ¿Qué pasó, mijo? ¿Quieres una quesadilla? And I was like, absolutamente. Sí. So this is what she did. She got the masa, right? She rolled up some of the masa from a tub. Mm-hmm. This is going to make noise. She rolled up the masa and then patted it out, mm-hmm. right? Between like two pieces of plastic and then put it on the grill. But it was like an oblong shape tortilla.
Yeah,
like it wasn't a round one, right? It was like more of a long oval. Mm-hmm. She grilled it on the piece of metal, and then she put queso blanco, mm-hmm. manchega, probably. No, my god!
Quesillo.
Yeah. It was like the long cheese, white cheese.
Quesillo.
White cheese, right? And then she put
from Oaxaca.
Oh my god! Okay, she put cheese on it, and then she put champiñones, mushrooms. Then she put
hongos.
And then she put squash blossoms.
Yes. On top of that.
And then chicharrón, pork rinds.
Wait, is that so?
On top of that. And then she folded it and cooked it. And when I tell you, I took a bite of that quesadilla.
They're the best.
Oh my god. I literally grabbed the wall, like, with one hand, because I almost fell over, because I was hit with so much, like, nostalgia. Like, it just made me think of all the meals that my grandma's had made for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, excuse me, I was like holding myself up with the wall, mm-hmm. and then I started crying.
No way.
And she's like, and the lady's gonna be like, I'm crazy. And I was just like, it's just so good. Oh my god, está tan buena esta quesadilla, señora. And she was like, she got a little scared. And I was like, oh shit, okay, I gotta go. But it was amazing.
That happened, not the same, but something like that happened to me when I ate tacos al pastor. I love them so much that I shake the taquero's hand and I said, muchas gracias. Oh, están tan ricos.
They were so bomb.
Oh my god. Anyway.
What did you see? Did you see any cool new sights in Mexico while you were there?
No. A lot of places that I've been before. I mean, I got to take my students also. Well, not my students, but this group of artists, I also got to take them to Huejotzingo. And this is what blew my mind about.
Say what?
Huejotzingo.
What'd you call me?
Huejotzingo, it's a site that was one of the first Franciscan monasteries in Mexico. But when you think about it...
Did I go there?
No. But it has murals that were painted in the 16th century with the direction of the Franciscans, but by indigenous people. You have so many different types of architecture in one single place. It is the most incredible place. But at the end of the day, it hit me there. I was like, this is a monument of genocide, because it was for spiritual conquest and a lot of people died as a consequence.
What a Debbie Downer.
I am a Debbie Downer. So as I'm giving a tour, I said, this is a monument of genocide, and I explain why. And like, I don't think they were too thrilled. But we talked about all these things in class, so see them in an actual building or an actual museum was pretty amazing. So, and also giving a tour of Huejotzingo, it's like a dream of mine. I always said all the different movements of art in the 16th century, they're in one single site. And we were able to look at that. So that was really cool. And then the third week, I didn't do much. I tried to work on my paper and I fell miserably. And then I'm back and that's it. That's pretty much my summer in Puebla, but you went to New Mexico.
Oh, yes. Okay, so shout out to the New Mexico Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. They're so cool there. Shout out to Catherine Ware, the curator. She curated my work into the show called Con Cariño, Artists Inspired by Lowriders. Mm-hmm. So I've made some work about lowriders. I made a life size, like over 19 feet long, foot long, 1964 Chevy Impala. Mm-hmm. So if you do your Googles on me, you'll find that on
the webpage.
Or it's on my website too.
You
don't have to Google me. But Google me.
Google it.
Google it. It's like three pictures of my art and then like Justin Bieber, like the rest of it. And then anyway, I think she saw that work. And so I have some mini lowriders that I made out of the big lowrider because I had to. They shipped it back to me, which was amazing. It was in a museum in Arkansas. Shout out to Crystal Bridges. And so they sent it back. So then I made a bunch of mini lowriders out of the big lowrider because I don't have room for it. But those were in the show. And then the museum asked me if I wanted to be the artist in residence there for this big family weekend that they do. Mm-hmm. So they kind of set up this area in the sculpture garden and all these people came. So many cool families. There's like two families that stick in my head that were so awesome. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Virginia and her family. They were so cool. She was an abuela with like two, I don't want to say abuelita because she was still young, like mm-hmm. a younger grandma, you know, with her two grandkids. Two girls and then her daughter and her husband, and they helped me for 2 days. They were there. They were amazing. They're so
That's
cool.
Awesome.
And then there was another family that came out for 2 days also. It was I think it was two kids and then their parents. It was so cool. Anyways, and they had never like really been. I know one of the families anyways had never been to the museum before, and they saw it in the newspaper, so they came. So that was so cool. So we built another lowrider for the exhibition. Like it was like 1/3 scale. It wasn't as big as the other one. And I basically just kind of directed, and the museum visitors made it like with my instructions kind of thing. You know what I mean?
But it's also cool because people don't think of an epicenter of lowrider culture is in New Mexico
and
Español and Chimayo and Taos. Like all those places have such a long history of lowriding, but everybody thinks of LA, everybody thinks of the West Coast.
Yeah,
but really New Mexico has a long
it's different, the lowrider culture there. This is something that I was worried about. I feel like I'm a fraud, like I never actually have worked on a lowrider, but I'm making art about lowriders, you know, because when I first made that original lowrider, I was trying to find a symbol that represented like Chicano culture, and I thought the lowrider was perfect, even mm-hmm. though I'd never, you know, I had just enjoyed them in movies or I mean, just they're just part of the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but actually having this experience was so cool, and I really enjoy working with the public, so I felt like this was appropriate, right? And it wasn't like I'm always afraid that I'm exploiting my culture instead of like highlighting my culture, mm-hmm. which is a weird line to kind of toe, right? So like I had to do an artist talk every day while I was there, like as part of the contract or whatever, or agreement, I shouldn't say contract.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end that was like my main message. I was like I think my main goal now is for people that look like me, that talk like me, that grew up like me, have a voice and are visible in institutions like museums or mm-hmm. galleries, right? Because there's a lot of white walls.
There's a long history of invisibility
and
of Latino.
And we're invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody like Kate Ware to curate a show, and most of the people in the show are people of color, that's pretty amazing, right? And Latinos.
So that's kind of cool in a way. We were doing something similar. Like I highlight the complexities as to why we have been erased from museum history or what happens. Like in Puebla, they kind of want to do this new thing with the museum there, which is kind of weird, by placing themselves in the middle of the Baroque world. So, oh my God, it's like a Disneyland world too. You go inside a room and there's like screens and there's like there's like different cupolas from around the world. But they try to do this. They try to place themselves in the center of the Baroque world. So it's almost like they try to change this idea of invisibility in a very, very strange way. In a way, this is what you're trying to do with your art. But it's also good that you did it in New Mexico, because as I said before, New Mexico has a long, long history. But Santa Fe is different.
Yeah.
Like Santa Fe has this long history about Hispanos. And this is one of the things that we talked about in the first episode. And we didn't get to talk about this in the first episode, but Hispanos in New Mexico, they can trace their lineage back to the first conquistadores that arrived with Oñate in the 16th century. But the reality is that Oñate came with a couple of Spanish soldiers and hundreds of Mexicas, yet nobody traces that lineage. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that people could buy the purity of your own blood. People could buy your casta. So, of course, all of that got erased. And now everybody thinks there's Hispanos or from Spanish blood in Santa Fe, which is different from Albuquerque, which is different from Española or Taos and other places where there's more like a Chicano history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I noticed there too. Like, people are proud to be called Hispanics there because Hispano, because they're really tied to their Spanish roots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No judgment.
I mean,
yeah, it was beautiful. Speaking of Disneyland, Santa Fe is like Disneyland because I think there's like architectural ordinances everywhere.
Yeah.
So everything looks like an adobe, you know?
Like, it's like a Pueblo, like, native Disneyland.
Get on the train and check out the Pueblo. But it's like, I thought it was more genuine than it was, because I thought, oh, how smart. They live in the desert. They make their stuff out of adobe. Like, that's smart, right? But then the more I was paying attention, the more I realized that it was fake adobe. Like, they call it faux adobe. They're like stucco adobes. They're not even really adobe, which I thought was very interesting. And then the Museum of History, I found out that, like, in the early 1900s, they decided that they were going to put these ordinances in place to make it more of a tourist, to make Santa Fe a tourist attraction.
But everything is like that. Like, McDonald's, it's adobe.
Everything. There's no neon allowed also in Santa Fe because they want to keep, no neon allowed because they want to keep like the night sky bright. You know what I mean? Because if there's too much light, you can't see the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then buildings, the tallest building in Santa Fe is the El Dorado Hotel downtown, because they want you to be able to see the mountains no matter where you are. So that's why there's no tall buildings in Santa
Fe. And then there's cobblestone, no, too?
Cobblestone here and there, yeah.
It's funny because cobblestone is like it becomes authentic when you put it. It's just, I don't know. It's
authentically expensive when you have to change your shocks.
But anyway, what else do you do?
Okay. Shout out to my friend Evan Dent. He's an artist out of Albuquerque who came and helped me one of the days. And also, big shout out to my homegirl, DJ Tons, aka Hi Mija. Hi Mija is so awesome.
She's the best.
Hi Mija is a movement. That's how I would describe it. Tons is like, she started this pro Chicana marijuana zine, and it's also now it's a store, right? It's also it's like I said, it's a movement, right? So if you follow her at Hi Mija, like high, like high school, like high, like getting high. So like Hi Mija on Instagram, on Twitter, and you can see all her posts. I have been following her for a while now, like for a couple years. And she started listening to the podcast, and she saw that I put on there that I was going to be in New Mexico. So if you go to our LatinosWhoLunch.com page, there's news and updates section under social, and you can actually see where we're going to be around the United States or the world or whatever. Like, for example, right now, Babelito has a show up El Ex Convento Santa Monica.
Which I
Santa
learned Monica. Is going to stay permanent. So it's part of the permanent
awesome. Collection. So if you're ever in Puebla, Mexico, go to El Museo Santa Ex Convento Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And Babelito has a permanent exhibit on the second floor.
Yes.
Yes. It's such an awesome museum. It's so cool. And it's a show about martyrs, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. So then... it's been there like for a year now, over a year now, right?
It's, yes.
Yeah.
It was last summer. That, yeah.
That's so
crazy.
Cool.
Crazy, yeah.
Okay. So, and I'm going to be in Reno. Anybody in Reno, Nevada, I'm going to be there August 4th through the 9th. I have an opening on the 4th, and then I have another show in Carson City right next door on the that opens on the 8th or 9th or something. So, anyway, it's all on there. So she saw that I was coming to New Mexico, and she hit me up on Instagram, and
that's so awesome.
Picked me up from the airport a little late because I missed my original flight. That's another story. And but anyway, I hung out with her all day or all evening when I got in on that night. It was so cool to see like where she like made all her zines and like all her swag and stuff. I made sure to grab everything. I love the like their tote bags and her pins and her zines, and it was great. It was so cool just hanging out with her. It was like we've been friends for so long, and then she came to the museum that weekend on like the last day, and that's Pokemon Go came out.
I was about to say,
oh Pokemon my Go. God, I wasn't gonna download it, and then she like caught a Charmander at the museum, and I was like, I gotta get this thing. So we like went bar hopping in downtown Santa Fe
looking for Pokemon,
and then we were looking for Pokemon. No, oh my God, it was so much fun. But I mean, Hi Mija has a she's part of a DJ collective. It's called Homegirls Records, I think, or Homegirls Records. Yeah. And so she's always, so look her up and go support DJ Tons / Hi Mija. It's really awesome. She's also a noise artist. Like, she makes noise, which is predominantly.
I can't wait to meet
her. She's so fucking cool. She's predominantly, which, like, the noise world, I guess, is predominantly white. Dudes,
yeah,
right,
that's what it is.
So she like shows up with their fucking setup and candles, and she makes this altar and she does her thing. It's so cool. I think you can find that on SoundCloud if you look her up.
Okay.
It's awesome, and
we'll put the links.
Yeah, and it's literally noise. Like, she gave me her first CD. I know you love that shit, so,
yeah
I
can't wait. I'm moving back to Albuquerque for a year, and she's gonna be my friend. She's gonna be my entry into Pothead Dome.
I want to do that too. I'm so bad at smoking pot.
Me too, but yeah. I'm ready. I feel like she's gonna guide me.
I swear, like, to a fucking God, shaman, I just, like,
and she's gonna be
out.
Like, okay, this is what you have to do, and this is where you have to start, and I'm going to do it. I'm determined that by the end of this year, I'm gonna become a pothead. I don't think I'm gonna be successful, but I'm really gonna do. I mean, it's gonna help me write. Whatever helps me write, I'm gonna do it. But anyway,
I predict that Hi Mija will be part of this podcast once we move to Albuquerque. Like, I want her to be, I think, I mean, we were talking about it, like, oh, we should do an episode on Orange is the New Black and on Hi Mija and on Cheech and Chong, on this and that. You know, we're just throwing ideas around. And she's like,
I can't wait for the Cheech and Chong episode.
We had the best conversations. She's so awesome. Anyway, look her up. Hi Mija. So awesome. Okay, so that's what happened in New Mexico. So much happened in New Mexico. They showed me a great time because it was also my birthday weekend. So, like,
oh, how old are you now?
None of your fucking business, you trash. I'm 30 years old now.
Yeah.
I don't feel 30. I feel like I'm 60. So
I don't feel 33 either. And I am.
You're 33?
Way. Pinche viejita. I see. Once you become 30, it's
over
all the
hill.
Same.
Over
it's all the
hill.
Same. That's why. Anyway, yes.
Oh my gosh. What else happened? Should I tell the story of why I was late? Okay. So I'm just gonna tell you what happened. Do you know anything? Did I tell you anything about this?
I think you started, but you said no.
Okay.
Wait for the podcast.
Shout out to my prima. Celeste, right? So my prima Celeste, I'm so proud of her. She's so fucking cool. She went and she became a doctor. She's a doctor. Okay, we have a doctor in our fucking family. That's fucking a surgeon. Okay, she's a surgeon. Cool. She's cutting up people in Mexico, in Guadalajara, okay? And she came back to the States to have a wedding, to get married officially here. And I, because of this gig in New Mexico, I couldn't go to her wedding. And so she's like, well, bitch, you got to come to my bachelorette party. And I was like, okay, sure, great, whatever, you know? Mm. You know I don't like to go to the Strip.
Nobody likes to go to the Strip.
The Las Vegas Strip, because I get messy, right? And it's...
But see, that's the place where you shouldn't get messy, because it's expensive.
I know, but okay, so here's the thing.
Ay, Dios, a ver.
Okay, we were sent a text message by her sister, my cousin Stephanie. Shout out to Stephanie. And we went to... We all met at this big old suite at the MGM, mm-hmm. and it was amazing. And I was like, I got to the suite. I was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a... It was such a beautiful suite. I thought we were going to just party at the suite. So I started to drink. They're like, anything that's right here, you guys can drink for free. And I was like, give me that shit. So I just started...
money.
And you know what else? I had just completed like 6 big artworks and sent them to Reno for the show. So I was also very relieved to be done with all my art projects. So I was like, all right, it's time to celebrate. Okay. So I'm already drunk from jump, right?
What time is it?
It's like 8 o'clock.
No mames!
Stewing. And then all these beautiful women start coming to the suite, like all her cousins and like friends from whenever, wherever, you know. And then some of my Guatemalan cousins too come, which is so cool. Andy, Gabby, all of them. And so we're rolling like 12 deep, right? And I'm the only dude. And the first, so they're like, we're going to go bar hopping. And then I was like, bwomp, 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 bwomp. Oh no, I'm poor. I'm an artist. I don't have any money.
And I'm already drunk.
But you know what? Those girls took care of me. Like they knew that con las fachas que estaba, like they knew that I was poor, right? So they took care of me.
Wait, let me picture it. What t-shirt were you wearing?
I wasn't wearing a t-shirt. I was wearing a polo shirt.
Ah,
hello.
Okay.
The bachelorette party. So we went, you know, we put on our beads, you know, our necklaces and our penis straws or whatever. And then we went to... We took the obligatory selfie in the hotel lobby, and then we crossed the street. We went to the New York casino, mm-hmm. and there's one of those coyote ugly bars in there.
Oh, Lord.
So that was our...
Were you dancing on top of
that
fucking bar?
No. At this point, I was still conscious.
Oh.
So we do shots and no sé qué otra mamada ahí, right? And then we're like, okay, because that was just a pit stop, because they were going to... my cousin wanted to go to the frozen bar. There's like a bar that's like ice.
Oh.
It's like you're in an ice cave. Mm-hmm. So they make you put on this giant parka and then you go in and everything is frozen. Even the glass is mm-hmm. frozen, right? And it was like...
You know, it's a big tourist trap. Like I thought there was one in every fucking big city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people come here to Vegas.
To see that bar. So we get to the bar and it's like... And it's like $20 just to get into the bar. And then it's like $50 to like get unlimited drinks while you're there.
50?
Or two drinks. Sorry, you get two drinks for $50. Dios mío. Shout out to my girl, Angela, who hooked it up. She bought me a ticket because she saw my face. I was like, I'm going to wait for you guys out here.
Pues sí.
Pero she spent $50 on me. I was going to make sure I got the most... out of the experience, right? So I was drinking, and I should have stopped immediately after that.
When you say that, that's when we know that that's when it gets good.
I should have stopped, okay? So after we left that place, we were there for a little while. After we left that place...
You start chain smoking?
I wasn't smoking. After that place... Everything started to get a little blurry.
Dios, ya no te acuerdas.
And I remember we got to Caesar's Palace.
Walking.
I think we took an Uber or a cab. And I remember being in the cab. Then I remember being in a line at Caesar's. And I was wearing like black chucks.
In line for what?
Omnia, the nightclub.
No mames.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know how much mm-hmm. I love mm-hmm. nightclubs. Mm-hmm. And then... And then we went in, and I don't remember anything.
Pinche Justin. Yeah. ¿Y cómo llegaste a tu casa?
.com. Okay, 30 years old, okay? It ain't cute. This is the rule. Me and my roommate Crystal say, like, after 27, it's not cute anymore when you black out. It's not cute anymore when you pee your pants because you're so drunk. It's not cute anymore when you projectile vomit into a fucking tent at a music festival, right? It's not cute. So, I don't know what the fuck I did at that thing. And I sincerely apologize to everybody that had to witness whatever the fuck happened. Okay, cut to, all right, maybe 1 a.m. I come.
Oh my God, it's only 1 a.m.?
I come back, okay? I come to. I come to. I'm walking in an alley behind the strip by myself, right? Holding somebody's phone, like a big random iPhone 6 Plus or something. And I'm like, whose phone is this? Where am I walking? What's going on? And then the phone starts ringing and I pick it up and it's Javi, my cousin Javi, mm-hmm. Celeste's brother. It's his wife's phone. Nayeli, I'm so sorry. I had his phone, and then my cousin Gabby, she knew that I had the phone, so uh-huh. she calls me. She's like, Justin, where the fuck are you? And I was like, I have no idea. And I'm like looking around, and I was like behind the Paris casino, uh-huh. like you know, the back way behind the strip.
¿Y qué chingados?
She somehow, I was like, I see the sign for Hooters Casino. And she's like, okay, keep walking towards Hooters. And then she found me on the street. My cousin did.
But how the fuck do you end up there from Caesar's Palace?
I probably was like, I gotta get out of here because my goal, I think, was to get home by midnight because I had to be at the airport at 4:30 in the morning because it was an early flight.
No, pues no llegaste.
I get to the car and I was so fucked up. I was like, Gabby, just please just take me home. I got a flight in the morning. And, I leave her my keys mm-hmm. because my car is still at MGM and now they're charging like $10 a day. So I was like, you need to get my truck out of there tomorrow. She's like, okay, you know. And I get home. I'm like, Crystal, my roommate is still up. And then she knocks up. And then next thing I hear is a knocking on my door. And it's already like 5 a.m.
No mames.
And we have like 30 minutes to get to the airport and like everything is like flashing back. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have my phone. I lost my phone during the night. And then anyway, wada wada la cuchara, we get to fucking the airport. I don't have my ID. So I was like, oh, we can't do this. So I just called and rescheduled the flight for later in the day. So yeah, I could like get my life together in the afternoon sometime. It was a mess, okay? I was a mess.
Justin.
Okay, it's a wake-up call. Something bad, really bad could happen. And yeah. You know what's fucked up? Is like, I'm telling the story, like, it's so funny, blah, blah, blah. But really, it's not. Like, I feel really bad. And, like, it's time to change my life. No, for real. It's time to change my life. Like, I don't want to drink like that anymore. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it anymore. Okay. I can't.
I've never seen you black out. Mm-mm.
I don't know. It's like a natural response mm-hmm. would be to throw up when you're that fucked up.
And go to bed?
But I've never thrown up. Like, I just black out. It's happened to me a few times. And it's scary. Because I do, for hours, I'm doing stuff and I don't even know what the hell. Thankfully, I'm a happy drunk. So, I think. I don't know.
La cara, güey.
I don't know. Anyway, I apologize to everybody. Celeste, the pictures of your wedding looked incredible. I should have just went to your wedding instead of in a mess. People, please don't invite me to bachelorette parties, bachelor parties. because it's just going to be embarrassing for all parties involved. I was on a mission. I was like on a self-destruction mission. I don't know why. I have no idea. It's not good.
Es el arte. It's the
not good. I just needed a release, man.
I understand that, but I don't know. But so you went to New Mexico. This happened. Anything else? I feel like my summer was so short compared to all those stories that you're telling me.
You know what? It's all a blur. It's all a blur. I'm sure if I look through my Instagram, I can find something good.
Oh!
But what?
I saw the documentary of Amy Winehouse. I'm looking at the painting in your house, and I thought about it.
What did you think about it?
I was talking about it with Kirsten about Amy Winehouse, and she's the one who told me you should look at the movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I never liked Amy Winehouse before. I know.
Did it make you like her, the movie?
It made me feel sorry for her, but not, I still don't, I don't know. Like, I understand she's a true talent and she was amazing, but I don't know. Like, it still didn't click. It's a good documentary, and it's just sad, man. Like, yeah. All the shit that happened to her and how everything that happened to her.
I mean, I was a big fan of her when she was alive.
Is it like a big Chicano thing to like Amy Winehouse or?
Yeah, because I think we see ourselves in her. Like,
'cause she dressed like a chola or what?
Yeah, and it's just like she's like so self-destructive and sad. Like, I feel like Latinos love sad. Like, that's why they love Morrissey. They're like, because it's so romantic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much pain that we can relate to.
Kind yeah, of thing. Like Jose.
Oh, yeah, like Jose, that's exactly.
That's a story that we relate to. No, but anyway, so I wanted to mention that because when we sat down, I saw the painting, and I thought, I'm going to ask Justin when he puts his phone down.
I went to Michigan also.
You went to Michigan?
Oh, that painting, my friend Sam, my really good friend Sam Riza painted it.
Oh, okay.
For me a long time ago.
She looks exactly like her.
I know. It's so good. I went to Michigan. Did we talk about that?
Yes, because you went before I left.
You know, something that I want to talk about. Are you paying attention? Excuse me.
Yes, espérate. Ah, ahora sí,
¿verdad? Uh-huh. Something that I want to talk about that is, it's hard to talk about, but I think it's important, is the Black Lives Matter movement that's happening, that's been happening, and all these tragedies that just happened, like that week that I was in New Mexico or whatever.
Yeah, I it was all over the news in Mexico as well.
It's crazy, and it's sad, and it's messed up, and, you know, I kind of feel helpless in the situation, and it's kind of that same feeling, you know, like, that I had for the tragedy that happened in Orlando, and it's crazy because this is happening so much now. People of color are losing their lives. They've been since the beginning of time. You know, at a faster rate than white people, right? But it's like, now we have video phones. We have phones with cameras that are recording it, right?
Yeah, well, so, you can just not deny it.
So it's visible. Like, now there's proof.
But the fucked up thing is that it doesn't matter.
And I don't know. I feel like we're at this place now where something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And I have a little message. I have a message to people that I love, people that I know, people, and to people that I don't know. Black people, black women specifically, also, black people have fought for all people of color. The civil rights movement, right? The Black Lives Matter movement, even, right?
Voting,
right? Black people are out in these streets making change happen to benefit all minorities.
Correct.
So when I hear a Mexican talk shit about black people, it infuriates me.
Yeah.
So next family picnic, when my tía or tía decides to call black people lazy or says something about this person looking like this or that, get ready, because I'm about to unleash the fury. I'm done. Like, for real. And that's something that you can do as a person of color, as a Latino, right? As a white person.
Like, check
what whoever's everybody. Listening to this. Yes. Don't sit there and let people be racist. Okay? Like, it's not acceptable.
It goes back to how we cover everything with the idea of humor. Like, this is how we justify it. And we talked about it in the Orlando episode. Yeah. And it's the same thing all across.
And it's
with sexism, with racism. It's my
go-to is to make a joke and not even worry about it, right? But you can also make a joke and make sure that your point is heard, mm-hmm. right? So it's enough is enough, okay? We as Latinos, when there's a Black Lives Matter rally, we need to be there too,
yeah.
right? And all you white people that are like, oh, I don't know what to do. How do I support? Guess what? You need to be out there too, right? And all you fuckers using hashtag All Lives Matter, aka All White Lives Matter, stop, okay? Enough.
I have filtrated my Facebook to the point that I haven't seen it. And if I come across it...
Enough. Mm-mm. Duh, All Lives Matter. Black Lives also matter, right? So it's like, yeah, if all lives matter, Black Lives matter. Like, it shouldn't... They can both exist,
which,
right?
Which,
oh, it just makes my blood boil when I see like a video on Facebook of like a cop dancing with little Black kids and they're like, see, everything's better now. I'm like, open your fucking eyes.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. That is an amazing officer, but he's part of a fucking system that's corrupt. Right. And that's anyway,
the hashtag All Lives Matter, all those things that you're talking about, they're forms of destruction. They're forms of destructions that are meant to distract from the actual movement, that are meant to distract from real change. And that's something that you've seen throughout history, and people need to be able to identify those destructions and not fall for them. And also one thing that bothers me, that really, really bugs me, and that's when you don't know what to do, and then instead you put yourself in the middle of what's happening when it has nothing to do with you.
Okay, amen to that.
That's something that really boils my blood.
Don't cry for Black people.
No, like, it just bugs me.
They don't need your fucking tears. It's not you, okay? Like, if you're not a Black person and you're fucking crying for them, go fucking cry at a Black Lives Matter rally, okay?
But it's just, how are you able to place yourself in the middle of something that has nothing to do with you? Like, and what is that going to do? It's like the prayers for Orlando. It absolutely does nothing. That absolutely does nothing. And it just distracts us from the real purpose of the hashtag, from the real purpose of the movement. And that is something that makes me really, really upset, which also happened with with the Orlando episode. It's just, it makes me so mad that there's this sense of invisibility about people of color, and all of a sudden they come into light because of all the shit and all the fucked up things that are happening in the world, and then you want to insert yourself in it when before that you were part of the reason why there's such invisibility to begin with. And all of a sudden you want to be part of that visibility. It doesn't work like that. And that really makes me upset. That really,
you know,
really
what?
Makes
me mad. I'm not going to say that I'm not part of the problem either, because I was like, we had a Black Lives Matter rally here. Like 100 people showed up. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so mad because I was upset because I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did was like, why didn't nobody tell me about this? Like, I started blaming other people like a fucking asshole. Like, if I really cared about it, I would have done my Googles and I would have found out when the rally was here in Las Vegas. But I didn't, because I'm part of that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we need to get better about that. Like, it's not fair. And same with, we're sitting pretty here, right? With our fucking papers, right? Because we're citizens of the United States. We were born here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these brothers, our Latino brothers and sisters fighting for immigration rights also. That's something that I also fucking sleep on. Because we're so fucking comfortable here that we don't think about the pain that all those undocumented people go through. Like, it's another issue I feel like, I'm just going to speak from my personal experience. My family, you know, is kind of sitting pretty. Everybody has their papers. Everybody's fine. And and when they really should be looking out for the rest of us. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's the same fucking, it's the same thing. And, but just with, I just wanted to, I didn't want to ignore all of these shootings that have been happening. Mm-hmm. Because it's really a tragedy. And it's like, if you guys really want to, if you want to hear a really great podcast about it, we mentioned it a bunch on this show, The Read. Mm-hmm. The Read podcast with Kid Fury and Crystal. They did an episode the week that that this all happened. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the episode, they share their views on this whole thing. And that's, and I agree with them on most of what they said. I mean, it was pretty on point. And a lot of what I just said is mm-hmm. is from their opinion too. And it's, you know, and also one of my friends today was like, I've heard this a few times now. It's like, oh yeah, everybody getting shot. And then the government puts out Pokemon Go as a distraction. And Kid Fury said on The Read, like, you know what? Maybe some of us do need a distraction, okay? Maybe some yeah. of us need that right now because we don't know how to fucking cope with what's happening.
Plus,
yeah, like
plus again.
Oh, but the government's tracking you.
Yeah, but that's those are old tactics that we're able that
if it's we, not one thing, it's another.
No, right? But we're smart and we're able to recognize those things and yet choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do. That's the whole thing. But. Yeah, I feel like a lot of things happened while we were gone. And yeah. There's also that whole mess, which we should talk about in another episode, but the whole mess with the textbooks in Texas.
What's happening in Oaxaca right now? Oaxaca, this is yes. going to be for the next episode because yeah. we got to wrap it up. But
yeah.
Oh, there's so much.
Yeah, there's so a lot. There's a lot of things. And but stay informed.
Oh, girl. Okay, so you know what? I just discovered this new podcast that I'm going to shout out right now that it makes me understand what's happening in the world of immigration rights. Mm-hmm. And it's called Choices and Chismes. Mm-hmm. It's good. You should listen to it. And it's two women on there interviewing people, and it's always kind of has to do with immigration reform. It's a really great podcast. We updated our website, and we want to keep shouting out brown podcasts. So if you know of a brown podcast, a Latino podcast, or doesn't matter, if there's people of color on there, we want to hear them, right? Yeah. Because this world is full of a lot of beige podcasts right now.
A lot of them.
And we want to give shout out to maybe some that we're not hearing. So I started a list on our website under the social media tab. It's hashtag support brown podcast. Mm-hmm. So start using that hashtag on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever you see a brown podcast so we can start listening. And I've started to compile a list of the podcasts that I listen to and that I know of with brown people on them. Mm-hmm. We also have been hashtagging Latinos Who Podcast just because it's like Latinos Who Lunch. But mm-hmm. remember, hashtag support brown podcast because... there's also hashtag support black podcasts, which is also a really great hashtag because I've found so many awesome podcasts that way.
That's a good way to find.
Yeah. And there's also this website, podcastsincolor.com. It's a directory of podcasts in color.
So, and we're in it.
And we're on it now. Whoop. Thank you for putting us on the list. So yeah, definitely check that out. Do you want to give any shout outs?
My recommendation this week is an album by a fairly well-known indie rock band. Uh-huh. Their name is Blood Orange, and the name of the album is Freetown Sound, and it's an incredible
Blood Orange.
Blood Orange is the name.
Oh yeah, it's got a lot of lines from Paris is Burning in it.
And there's 2 degrees of separations between the main dude, Blood Orange, and Beyonce.
1 degree.
Solange. Just 1 degree. That's it.
Hello.
That's it.
You don't think Beyonce knows Blood Orange?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they kiki all the time. They know.
Anyway, they know each other. Blood Orange, Freetown Sound. It's interesting because it came out around the same week that all these things happened, with cops and with black men, because it's directed to that. But
really?
Freetown Sound has a lot of things that really bring a lot of those things into focus, and it's very interesting. It's a good album, and. That's it. This is my shout out because it really is one of the best albums that has come out, at least in the indie sphere, that has come out this year.
Okay, I'm just going to give a bunch of. So, like we mentioned before, if you go on our website, Emmanuel really helps. Babelito really helps me out and does the
links.
The links. So, if you go to our website, go to the episodes link. And you can see every episode, and there's links to everything that we talk about. So if you forget any of the podcasts that we talk about, you can go on there, because I'm about to give a few shout outs right now. I think that it's important to give shout out credit where credit is due, right? So another podcast that I just discovered that's really awesome is the Tamarindo podcast. They're two people out of LA. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. They crack me up.
Yeah.
They're really good. So give them a listen. And there's this podcast Gimlet Media puts out called Reply All. It's a podcast about the internet. If you're a podcast listener, you already know about this podcast. Mm-hmm. But episode, I think it's episode 69. It's, let me see. Yeah, the episode is called Disappeared. Fast forward to the end of it because it's really cool. In the previous episode, they kind of deconstruct Twitter, people's tweets that they don't really understand. So in one of these tweets, somebody uses the word yas. You know how everybody uses that on the internet now?
Shade.
Yas, right? So they describe that word as just like, oh, it's just internet vernacular, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're all white dudes on that show. And what they didn't understand is that it comes from gay culture, right? Like so this is something that I think is so interesting to see on the internet, like people using drag now, like drag her, like, you know, like they're being dragged. Like that is also a gay thing.
Or the shade.
Or shade, throwing shade, all that shit. Now it's in the air, right? Now everybody's using that vernacular.
It's crazy though.
Like gay people came up with that shit. So, on episode 69, Extravaganza. Oh, I forgot his first name. Anyways, he's a Puerto Ricano, I think, and he's in the movie Paris is Burning, the documentary about the underground ball scene, gay ball scene in New York. So they explain where the words come from, and it's good.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's kind of like, okay, we get like, it's like over explaining it for white people, you know, but it's still a really great
like podcast. Like you explained the quesadilla.
No, I just wanted you to know, oh, how good that bite was when I bit into that fucking thing. So many how complex is that quesadilla? And that's just like a standard. That's like standard.
Yeah.
There was no salsa on there. There was no beans. Like, it was just standard. Anyways, check that out. Yeah, I mean, we are really excited to keep this podcast going. We just got new equipment, which is fun. We were racially profiled at the store today.
Yes.
While we were getting the equipment.
That was so crazy.
Funny.
Yes.
I'm like, girl, they just upped my credit on my credit card. Let's go get our own equipment, right? And as soon as we walked in the store, like, sir, your backpack needs to go right here. We're like, I've been in the store. Me and Babelito have been in this store.
With backpacks,
like, two times now. And they never made us turn them off. But today, I guess we looked extra suspicious.
But we got equipment thanks to Justin's credit card.
Yeah.
And we're starting to get feedback. And we need more.
Yeah.
We are saving our feedback.
Thank you so much for all these people that have emailed us or Facebook commented or whatever. If you put your comments on Facebook, that's already public domain. So guess what? we're going to use your comments. And yeah, if you have any questions, email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. And we've already got a few really good emails. I think episode 10, we're going to make it a mailbag episode. We want to read all of these comments and questions and concerns because people are calling us out and we fucking love it.
Yes. And one thing I learned this summer is that you don't fuck up with people's Fridas, but I want to hear more because I'm ready. I'm ready for that episode number 10. But that's what's going to make this episode even more interesting for everybody. It's not just us talking because, you know, that gets boring. Like, let's hear from you so we can start a conversation about these important things. Otherwise, we lose some of that value. So thank you to everybody who started sending their emails. And please continue to do so.
Yes. And if you would like to sponsor the podcast, hit us up.
Be our guest.
We already got some interest from a local restaurant. So it'll be fun to do that. Maybe go do it over there.
Yes.
But yeah, food sponsors are great too.
Anything.
But yeah, you can follow us at Latinos Who Lunch on Instagram and Twitter. We're also on Facebook. Visit our website, www.latinoswholunch.com. You can follow me on all social media platforms at FaviFav.
And I'm Babelito again on Instagram.
This was so much fun. I'm glad I got to catch up and let people know what an alcoholic I am. It was so great. We should do this again sometime.
Yes, I feel like maybe every five episodes we'll just catch up. Yeah, because it feels nice.
Decompress.
Yes, yes. I'm ready.
I'm like fired up after that Black Lives Matter stuff. I'm just like so mad. Keep talking.
Let's record another episode.
Oh my God. I know. Anyways, thank you all for listening.
Adios.
Bye. Muchas gracias.